This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Mike Rice, voice of UNC basketball, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Kind of going all things basketball today. Nothing wrong with that. And who better to talk basketball with than head basketball coach for the UNC Bears, great friend of mine, Steve Smiley. Coach, thanks so much for jumping on board today.
Yeah, what's going on, Brady? How you doing?
I stayed up way too late last night, Coach, watching that Nuggets game. That was absolutely nuts.
You know what? Let's talk Nuggets real quick. I mean, I'm a big fan, but I'm embarrassed to say that, you know, when we were down 20 and it had been a long day of chasing kids in the portal and chasing my own kids, I guess, I kind of just shut it down to hang out with my wife for a little bit. And when I woke up this morning and saw that Murray hit the shot, I was like, man, I mean, if we're going to be able to win that game right there, like, we're looking pretty good. So, all good news, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody blames you, Coach. I mean, you got a lot going on. I've always said this to you, and I mean, I don't know how you keep up. I don't know how you do it, you know, with transfer portal stuff, guys coming and going, recruiting, all of it, and then preparing your team for next season, too. So, I mean, yeah, I think listeners are going to give you a pass on that one, Coach. So you're good.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that pass. It's been a little different the last couple of years with, you know, just trying to rebuild these teams and these rosters. And it's just, you know, it's the same for everybody. I mean, you know, whether you go up and down the front range with all of our different schools, we've all had different, additions, subtractions, things like that. So it's just a totally different model right now. So we just got to figure it out. But I'm glad that I get the pass because I was tired. And I'll give you one good stat that you'll like. So my birthday was April 1st. We have it in our calendar on May 3rd, 33 days later, to celebrate my birthday as a family. And that's not just because of the portal. That's because my kids are all over the place chasing their, you know, their club sport dreams too. But 33 days before we could find some time to celebrate my April Fool's Day birthday. So it's all bad up here, man.
Well, happy late birthday to you, my friend. Yeah. And again, you know, it was such a fun year overall for this team. I know it didn't end exactly how you wanted it to, but your family, everything for you guys. I mean, it was a very successful year for the Smiley household.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. I thought, you know, with the Bears, it was great, you know. It's just hard, man. When you get to, we were 19-12 and the 2 seed going into the Big Sky tournament, felt great about it. You know, the game before ours in Boise, we watched Eastern Washington, the number 1 seed, which was really the one team that we had a lot of difficulty with matching up with. I mean, I think we could have beat them, but you know, they swept us, and we watched them get beat by the 10 seed. And so you're saying, like, okay, 1 seed's gone. The one team we really had trouble with's gone, and let's go get this thing. And then same thing happened to us. We just didn't play good, and Idaho State played really good, and our Big Sky dreams were dashed. And so it's just so hard. You know, you look at it, you look like in our league too, Montana State, which had a losing record, right, going into the Big Sky tournament, but they went dancing. It's like, well, what would you rather have? You'd rather have dancing, right? But at the same point in time, you go through really having a losing season, but you have that glory at the end of it where all the rest of us that, you know, the ones had a good season, but we came up short. So it's just a really weird deal, but I do appreciate it. It was definitely a good year for sure.
That's the tough part about the way in the Big Sky Conference too, Coach. I mean, you could theoretically go undefeated. You could win every single game, but if guys aren't hitting shots, whatever, we see that it's basketball. You could be out just like that. How do you? What are your thoughts while we have you here on that structure? Because I've always struggled with it because it's like, man, you could be doing everything the right way in the regular season, and an injury could happen. A guy can get sick. I mean, who knows? And then you're out.
It's just the way the world works at this level. I mean, there's just no way around it. It's going to be a one-bid league. Really, the last 2 years, Eastern Washington in our league experienced that. They won our league by 3 games this year, and they won it by about 2 or 3 the year before. They got beaten the first round both times in the Big Sky tournament. And you're just not going to go to March Madness coming from the Big Sky if you don't win the whole thing. It's just the way of the world. So, you know, there's so many different ways to try to get a better, you know, net ranking and play quad 1 games. But at the end of the day, it's a one bid league, and I don't know. I think you just get to come to terms with it. I've always been a big proponent, and we did it this year, that, hey, if you get a chance to play in the postseason, if you can get it done and afford to do it, you should do it. And so that's like why we played that CBI, because, you know, you have a great year and you want to keep it moving forward. That's why we do things like that. And obviously you'd rather go to March Madness, but I really think that, you know, postseason is a big deal. And so if you get the chance to do it, you try to do it, I guess.
UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley joining us. Coach, let me ask you this about, obviously, Dalton Knecht one of the most talked about basketball players in the country this year. And then we see the news to start the week, St. Thomas transferring to USC. What has that done for your program? Because I know it's one of those things where, because you and I have talked about this, you're like, hey, that's the nature of the business now. But at the same time, it's like, Here you are, here's your staff going out and finding these guys that were not performing at that level until they came to UNC. How has that helped your program overall?
Yeah, I think that's a key phrase, helped, you know, because everyone wants to talk about the negative side of it, which I understand. It's like, well, you know, I mean, Dalton was here, and now he's going to be an NBA guy, but he wasn't here last year. It's like, hey, that's just the way it is. And the same thing with Saint. The now Saint's at USC, but he might not be. He might be able to stick in that NBA draft. Yeah. He's chasing that deal. And I just think Saint's really good, and I think, you know, I think he's going to get 5, 10, 15 NBA workouts. And if he plays well in those workouts, he really might move up those boards. And I think that he's the type of guy that shows really well in that workout setting. Motor, energy, skill, size, all that different stuff. So, you know, he would only not be at USC if he's in the NBA. But I do think in some ways it's really helped us as we've gone along with it. The first guy that did it was Kurjon Kuch.
Of
course, he was for 4 years, and he graduated. He did everything we asked him to do. He was just the best kid in the world. And it was the first one, though, and it stung, you know, where he's like, hey, I'm going to use my COVID year and go in the portal as a grad transfer. He went to Temple, and he started. And you know, that was the hardest. It's like, man, if we had Coor, like, we'll probably win the championship. You know, then Dalton did it, and now Saint, and really DeJure as well. But, you know, with a guy like Saint, a guy like Dalton, they get to those highest levels, I do think it can help your program, too, because, you know, we're chasing kids that maybe could be the next, you know, version of that, where it's like, hey, look, you know, you're at a high level or similar level, whatever it is, look what we've been able to do with these guys in their, you know, 1-2 years with us. Not as many guys right now that's like, hey, here's the 5-year plan. There's a couple, but the majority of it's like, hey, you know, we're going to have you for 1 or 2 or 3 years. You know, how do we really attack that? And so I think it's helped us as well, but it still stings. But, you know, I was happy for Saint when he got his decision, because I know it's stressful and all the calls and stuff that these guys get. So, yeah, you just got to look at the bright side of it.
Well, and Coach, it's got to be one of those tough things, too, because the better a player, and this is happening all over the country, but if you have a guy that comes in that maybe we're not talking about enough and we don't really know this guy, and then suddenly 8-9 games in, whoa, he's averaging, you know, he's getting up there in the 20s, he's rocking and rolling. Is there a part in the back of your head during season where it's like, oh, this guy's really good, I hope we can keep him?
Well, 100%. And more so thinking we probably can't keep him. And, you know, the rule changed at Christmas. Like, the same Saint and Marcel McCreary were really the two guys coming into the last year. They were like, oh, we'll keep him because the rule says you can only transfer once as an undergrad and not sit out. Well, that rule changed at Christmas when all those lawsuits came in. And one of the guys was the former Montana State kid, Raekwon Battle, who's West Virginia. Big lawsuit. And, you know, the NCAA granted immediate eligibility to all those kids nationwide. And then it just got passed, you know, fairly recently as a full-time rule. So the point being that we thought Saint, because he, you know, had a year left and was not going to be a grad transfer, that he was going to be here for 2 years. And then the rule changed. The second that rule changed, we're like, this guy's averaging 20, 10, and 5. And I don't think we're going to be able to hold on to him. Obviously, you try, and there's a reason for him to stay, and there's a lot of good, valid reasons to stay. But you also know, realistically, in the culture today of everyone being curious about the portal, you're probably going to hop in. And once these kids get in the portal, it gets pretty wild for the good ones.
Do you think, Coach, that, I mean, again, I know the Dalton Knecht story is a big one, and a lot of people are going to point to that and see what the success he had. But do you think that we'll start seeing that maybe the grass isn't greener, always greener on the other side, and you might see the transfer portal craze slow down in the next couple of years?
You could. You know, you got the portal part of it. You got the financial part of it, the NIL part of it, right? Which that's, you know, again, at those highest levels, the amount of money that's being thrown around. And, you know, maybe that slows down when whatever it is, donors or whatever, start saying, wait a second, this is crazy. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it could be that. But, you know, for us, our guys that have moved on have been good players, and they have produced. So I think that, you know, internally, you know, kids that are playing well at UNC, if they're thinking about going to the portal, they're seeing great success stories, right? So it almost fuels them in the sense of saying, man, look what Dalton did. Even look what, you know, Coor was a starter at Temple. Look what Coor did. Look what Dalton did. And now Sane is, you know, he really, you know, in some of those rankings was between the number one and number five ranked transfer player in the country before he signed at USC. So I do think kids look at it and say, man, like, well, maybe that can be me. So I don't know where this thing goes in a couple of years, but it's gonna be very fluid.
UNC head coach Steve Smiley joining us. Well, coach, let's talk about some of these big names coming in. I had a lot of Bears fans texting me, you know, already kind of knowing about a lot of these guys. So let's talk about some of the guys you've picked up in the transfer portal and just on the recruiting side, too.
Well, I think, too, just, you know, obviously the portal's still open. So I'm still fingers crossed that the remaining roster, you know, the returning roster stays the way it is. Because I think we have some great players coming back. So, again, I'm knocking on wood here and, you know, just hoping that nothing happens over the next really week, because I think Wednesday, May 1st is the last day for a kid to get in the portal. But, you know, as of right now, four of our top eight guys are back, you know, in the sense of Jaron Riley, Brock Wisney, Langston Reynolds, Zach Block. And those guys helped us win a lot of games. Those are good players. And so you got that. And then you got, you know, Marcel McCreary, who I think is going to take a big step. He proved himself in that CBI tournament. That's one of the reasons we did it. But against Cleveland State, Marcel had, you know, 10 points, 5 rebounds, a couple great assists. And to do that after not getting any minutes for a full season, that was unbelievable. And our young kid, Egan Shields, who redshirted, people are going to be very, very shocked at how good this kid is. So point being that I think we've got a nice returning mix to start with, a good core, maybe as good of a core as any team in the league coming back. Now that Eastern Washington's would have been very impressive, but, you know, their coach got the Washington State job, and so they just completely imploded that roster. So I feel good about our returns, but then the guys coming in, and we still have a lot of work to do, but, you know, we've signed multiple kids, you know, starting with, you know, in league, you know, Quinn Danker, who was, in my opinion, you know, the best player at Idaho, and I was kind of surprised he wasn't an all-league guy, and I think that was just a reflection that they didn't win a lot of games. But, you know, Quinn was a top 15 scorer in the league, and he was a top, he was actually the seventh leading assist guy in the league. So as of right now, Jaron will be the leading returning assist guy. And I think it's Brandon Whitney from Montana. Then it's Quinn. So we have two of the top three leading assist guys in the league. And I think he's a really good player. He gave us 23, you know, at our place. And I just think he's good. We were ecstatic to get him. Yeah.
Well, and Coach, I'm sorry to cut you off there too, but I was just thinking about that game. What was that? Late February.
Yeah.
I mean, he was scoring, he was passing, he was getting boards. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was everywhere.
And he's just a winner. He's been a winner everywhere he's been at. It was not easy to get his commitment. A lot of schools are chasing him around, especially with his stats and stuff. You know, higher level schools, and so we got very fortunate to get him. I think he just really enjoyed the vision of it. And I think for him, looking at it, like, okay, you know, DeJure Reeves left, and DeJure can kind of play on the ball and off the ball and score the ball and pass the ball. I think that's the way that he sees it, and I think that's the way that we see it. And so that was great. And then, you know, Tayshaun Jackson was the first kid that we signed. Tayshaun's a local kid in the sense that he's from Denver, but he went to a prep school after his senior year. That was the COVID year. Went to a place called SoCal Academy, which produces a ton of Division I players. And then he went to VMI, which Virginia Military Institute's in the SoCon, which is a, you know, it's like a top 10, top 12 league in the country. It's a great league. It's the same league that Jaron really came from, Samford. And, you know, Tayshaun averaged 11 points, 11 rebounds a game, one of the few kids in the country to get a double-double. And he's a 6'5 wing. He's not a big. He's just super athletic, aggressive, rebounds it. You can play him on the ball, off the ball. He can come off a ball screen. He's really good. I mean, I think he's a really good player. And so, you know, again, we feel like we got pretty fortunate to get him. The Division I transfers that produce and have stats, those kids are so hard to get. And so get those two guys big time, and then getting our kid from Europe, Victor Lukic Gavrić, I think we got very fortunate to get him. You know, if you go back to last summer, He played in what's called the European U18 A's. So there's the A's and the B's. The top countries are in the A's, and then the B's are the lower-ranked countries. But played for Sweden, and he was the second-leading scorer in the entire thing, which is really, really impressive. And I know it's kind of hard to translate the European stuff for our local fans, but the type of kid that we had no chance to get 6 months ago, and then as the cards fell and this and that, we kind of got involved late, and then it just kind of broke right for us. So we got Victor, and then local kid Hunter Caldwell, that I'm super high in Hunter. You know, he's so young. He's 17 years old, and he's a 6'10", skilled, pick pop five, and he works so hard at his game. So, you know, we got to develop him and keep working on his game. He's not like a senior in college. I mean, he's a traditional high school kid. But, you know, starting with those four guys, you know, now we're up to 11 out of 16, and we're close on a couple other ones, but we love where we're at right now. We just got to get a couple more to kind of finalize the roster out. But we're in a good spot.
Well, seeing these names and kind of learning a little bit about them, too. I mean, and Coach, I think, you know, speaking for all Bears fans out there, you've given them a lot of confidence. When we see names that maybe we're not familiar with or maybe we are, we know, hey, those are going to be good players. So yeah. I'm excited about this group. Hey, Coach, I got about 3 minutes here. I want to talk about your upcoming camps. But before I do that, just got a quick question on our text line. I'm assuming nothing's changed. I just want to ask if all your coaches on your staff are coming back next season.
Still knocking on wood. There's no transfer portal for the coaches. They could technically leave at any point in time, but now everyone's sitting in their offices right across from me right now, and I don't anticipate losing anybody. I think that we're all back and ready to rock and roll. Every spring, especially when you win, you know, there's always opportunity. A lot of our coaches could leave for, you know, bigger paydays and things like that. So I'm very fortunate that they're here. I think I have the best staff in the league, but I think we'll all be back.
A lot of great guys, too. Coach, coming up this summer, you've got your player development camp, your shooting and scoring camp.
Yep.
Starting up in June. Talk to us a little bit about that. Who's it for? How can they register?
Yeah, no, it's very simple, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, registration-wise, stevesmileybasketballcamps.com. It's all one word, stevesmileybasketballcamps.com, or we've got all the camp information on our uncbears.com website, too. We've got a PDF flyer. We've got you can register online. You can send a check in. But, yeah, the player development camp, they're all coming up in early June, so just over a month away. June 3 through 5 is player development, and then shooting and scoring, which is similar but has a different flow to it, is June 10 to 12. So, yeah, for people that are interested, typical ages, I'd say, definitely K to 8. We will have some high school kids in there as well. Open to boys and girls. And I think it's just awesome. I mean, we usually max it out. We have just over 100 kids at each camp, and they're growing. And our staff, the best thing about it, if I'm trying to sell these things, is one, the price point's good. It's affordable compared to some of the stuff out there. But then two, our staff and our players, we're the ones working it. So they're going to be around our guys. Obviously, you know, getting around our players is what the kids love, and our staff's out there. So you're getting real development, instruction, things like that. We're going to work in the skills. We're going to play. We're going to have a good time. Coach Dorian Green is going to run the camp concession, as always. It's just going to be a good time, man. So, yeah, that's kind of what it is. But we'd love to have people out. It's in the main arena, the Bank Colorado Arena, out here at UNC. And for those that are interested, stevesmileybasketballcamps.com or uncbears.com. Go to our men's basketball site and click on camps.
I'll be talking about it too, Coach. And, you know, I think that's a heck of an opportunity to be around you, your coaching staff, and these players too. It's very cool. So I love these camps for so many reasons. So we're just happy that you guys do this every single year.
Absolutely, Brady. I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me talk about it. And shoot, it's always good just to hop on here and talk Bears basketball.
Anytime, my friend. We love catching up with you. And, hey, it's still a late game on Thursday for the Nuggets, so just be ready. I mean, we'll give you
ready.
A pass again, Coach, because of who are. But
I'll be ready. I'll be ready. You know, the family's out of town, and so I'll be at the house by myself. So I'm locked in.
All right, Coach. Always appreciate you, man. You're one of the good ones. We'll talk to
Thanks,
you soon.
Man. Okay, see you, Brady.
All right, bye-bye. Steve Smiley. There it is. StevesmileyBasketballCamps.com. He's awesome. I love that guy. And I'm excited about these names, Angel. And Smiley has given us the confidence now. I know we got a break. Where you see a name and you go, he's probably going to be good because they keep finding these dudes. So we'll see what next year brings. 11:53 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Hear it again. podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.